I wonder when the last time you were in a crowd was. Now, for many of us Londoners, crowds used to be part of how we did life. A Saturday shopping trip to Westfield, a journey at rush hour on the tube. However, given that these last 2 weeks of staying at home, for many of us, we might have to think back a little bit of time to when we were last in a crowd. For some of us still travelling to work, you might not have to think as hard as the rest of us. See, crowds are a strange thing, aren't they? Sometimes there's a sense of excitement in the air. Maybe you're travelling to see a sporting event or a music gig or something else that you are excited for. Maybe though, a crowd isn't such a good thing. The rush when those train doors open and everyone rushes to pack in. A crowd that gathers when something unusual happens and ends up drawing more people in. I've noticed that in crowds, sometimes our emotions start to play up too, don't they? There's a rush of excitement, perhaps a rush of anger or impatience or grumpiness. Sometimes a rush of expectation. Sometimes there's words or chants or music we might find ourselves caught up in, where we sing words or say things we wouldn't usually say, but because others are doing it, we kind of get caught up in it. Sometimes in a good way, but also, if we're honest, perhaps sometimes in bad ways too. Today, we begin what the church calls Holy Week, the week that leads us up next Sunday to Easter Day. Now, this will be a strange Holy Week, perhaps the strangest Holy Week ever, because we'll have to observe this walk towards Easter from our own homes. We won't gather together as we typically do, but we will gather in this way through online streamed services. We're physically separated, but we're always united in Jesus. And so this week, I invite you to go on a journey with me towards the day that changes everything. Holy Week is an important week. It strips us back to basics that lead us deeply, yes, into the story of what makes us human: betrayal, rejection, abandonment, loneliness, sacrifice, and even death. But it too speaks of hope amidst the darkness, of a God who comes close and chooses to suffer that we might know love and forgiveness and life eternal in the good news of the resurrection. So I invite you this week to go on a journey with me as we journey towards the cross of Good Friday and the glorious empty tomb next Sunday. For at the centre of the Christian faith is the cross of Christ. And this week we will prepare ourselves once more to celebrate and reflect on the two most important days of human history, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We will see at the centre of the story is Jesus, his disciples, or perhaps the lack of them, our sin, the real enemy, and a crowd with two opposite and extreme reactions to Jesus. Where will we see ourselves in the story from 2,000 years ago that is still our story today? The Jesus who came close 2,000 years ago is still coming close today, offering words that challenge, that inspire, actions that bring eternal life into a world which is still marked by sickness and death today. See, on Palm Sunday, we find ourselves amongst a crowd, and it's a fickle crowd that lines the streets of Jerusalem, waving palm leaves and shouting Hosanna as Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Why don't we jump into this story together before we unpack what this story might mean for us today? Now, for many of us, this is a familiar story. We know all the old songs. We could recite the story ourselves. But friends, let's not switch off. Let's instead choose to lean further in, for the King of Kings wants to speak with us today through his living word. Are our hearts open to hear the challenge and the encouragement that God might want to bring to us through this familiar story? See, Jesus and his disciples have travelled near to Jerusalem. They're just outside the great city by the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sends two of his disciples on ahead of them to pick up a donkey and her colt. They're told to bring, the disciples are told to bring the donkey and the colt back to Jesus with the instruction that if anyone asks them what they're doing, they're to say the Lord needs them. Matthew, the writer of our gospel reading, adds an editorial comment to try and help us understand what on earth is going on. Matthew makes us aware that Jesus is fulfilling one of the many promises about him in the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 9, written over 500 years before the events of this Palm Sunday, Zechariah had written, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." And this is what happens. Jesus gets on the donkey and rides into Jerusalem, the disciples with him, and a crowd begins to gather. A crowd who start to take off their jackets and place them on the ground. A crowd that wave palm leaves and begin to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We just sung those words, didn't we? Hosanna in the highest. The whole city, Matthew comments, is stirred up and people begin to ask, who is this? Was someone in the crowd in the road saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. What's going on? Well, there are throwbacks to other cultural celebrations that had already taken place in Jewish history. There's also a sense of anticipation in the air. The Israelites have been living under the tough rule of Rome. They're oppressed and they long for their deliverance. In the past, conquerors had come riding into Jerusalem on big, grand horses and had overthrown the baddies. And the crowds had lined the streets then with palm leaves too. The palm leaf, this symbol of Jewish nationalism. We will one day be free again. And songs of victory had gone up around these conquerors. But there is crucial differences in how the story is playing out this time. Jesus isn't riding on a war horse, and his message isn't one of military conquering, but instead of peace. How do we know this? Because he rides in on a donkey, a symbol of humility, a symbol of peace, a symbol most of the crowd aren't recognising for what it is. Now the crowd are shouting Hosanna, translated as save us. This phrase had begun to be used commonly in worship at the time, but it was more an exclamation of praise rather than a prayer. So often we fall into a trap, can't we, of loosely singing praise songs without thinking about what we sing. You know, someone once said to me, "Amy, you know we sing our lives to God." And I was surprised. I said, "Tell me, what do you mean?" She said to me, "Amy, we sing our promises of unending devotion, of giving up everything, when we struggle to even set aside 5 minutes a day for prayer, or Bible reflection, or part of our earnings in our tithe." You know, sometimes like this crowd, we are caught up in the actions of others and lose track of ourselves and what we say and do. See, the crowd sing and shout, "Hosanna, save us," but altogether miss the point in what is happening. Jesus had come to save his people, but not from military dictatorship, as much of the crowd hoped for, but instead Jesus comes to save them and us from our greatest enemy, our sin, our wrongdoings, the thing that separate us from God. Jesus comes riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of humility, yes, but also a known symbol of peace. Not military peace, but declaring instead peace between God and man. And his life, Jesus's life, will be the price offered by the end of the week to bring about our reconciliation and our freedom. It's a well-known story, but it's an important one. And what might God want to say to each of us today? Well, firstly, let's start where the gospel reading ended As the city was whipped up in this frenzy, remember, people asked, "Who is this?" And someone in the crowd replied, "It's the prophet, Jesus." This morning, are you asking, who is this Jesus? Do you know him as he is? Or are you a little bit like whoever answered in this crowd? Have you got half the story right? Because yes, this was Jesus from Nazareth, but he wasn't just a prophet or a good teacher. He's the King of Kings. He's God himself riding into Jerusalem on a rescue mission. Not to bring freedom from rubbish political leaders, but from our greatest enemy, our sin. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem to declare that he's come to live amongst our mess and our brokenness. Jesus came to lead the perfect life that we might be redeemed, set free by his actions upon the cross. God himself, Jesus Christ, came close so that you and I might know that death and sickness and brokenness and past mistakes aren't our final answer. Because sin and sickness and death and coronavirus don't win. Jesus does. Do you know this Jesus, or do you just know some of the story? Do you know him for yourself, or have you just heard parts of other people's half stories? Because when we grasp who Jesus really is, it changes everything. It changes the way we do life. It changes the way we understand ourselves. It changes everything. Today, if you don't know who this Jesus is, can I encourage you, perhaps use this time in isolation to do a little bit of investigating yourself. Who might this Jesus be? And if you've got questions, please ask me. Come back in comments, come back in messaging, come back in text, come back in email. Why not use this time, this Holy Week, to go on a journey of encountering with the crowd? Who is this Jesus? Because it's not just a good story. It changes the face of history. It changes our lives today. Do you know who this Jesus is? Secondly, though, here's a kick for all of us. As I've prepared this week, it's been a kick for me too. What Jesus are you following? See, I was talking with some young people this week by phone about what I would be preaching on today. And I was saying to them that I so often find Palm Sunday one of the most challenging passages for me to preach on each year. Because each year in my preparation and then in my preaching, it forces me to look seriously at this question. What Jesus am I following? The Jesus who was and is to come, the Jesus who actually is, or a Jesus that I have reduced down into a vending machine of my own dreams? Have I become like the crowd that gathers on that first Palm Sunday, coming with my own expectations and desires? Am I worshipping Jesus as he is, or have I missed the point? Have I reduced Jesus to a box where I dictate what he is Lord of in my life? Have I subconsciously started to worship him when things are good and straightforward, and then put Jesus on the back burner when he doesn't measure up to what my hopes are, what my dreams are for what God will do in my life? Have I, in the course of a year, become a hokey-cokey Christian, a little bit in and then a little bit out, and a little bit shake it all about when I want people to know that it's going well? Or am I worshipping Jesus all the year through? The Jesus that is, and not just the Jesus I want. Do I worship and shout Hosanna on the good days, and then am I altogether absent or speaking negatively about God when it's tough or when things don't go the way that I hope? I wonder, friends, if it's time on this Palm Sunday for us all to have a bit of an internal MOT, a bit of a reality check. Do we need to look inwards at ourselves and see which crowd we lie in? Are we worshipping the God who is, the God who knows best, The God whose priority isn't sorting out the issues I think he should be sorting out, but who came to deal with the bigger issues which he can see in his bigger picture. I wonder if there's things for you, like there has been for me this week, where I need to repent of when I've got this wrong. Where do we need to go back to basics and come humbly before a king and say, I don't always get it, Jesus, but I trust you. I'm all in for the real you, in the highs and the lows, the mountains and the valleys. Still I choose today to worship you, Jesus. Still today I choose to follow you, Jesus. I also wonder what worship we're offering today. Now, it's interesting that the crowd on Palm Sunday said the right things. Hosanna, save us, Jesus. But they completely missed the point. How often do we say the right things with our mouths, but our hearts and our actions don't align? It's interesting that the story of Palm Sunday told in the Gospel of Luke, Luke records that after the events of Palm Sunday and the misguided praise of the crowd, Jesus doesn't leave and celebrate. No, instead he weeps over Jerusalem. As we reflect today on ourselves, what might we have to repent of? What might we need to reconsider for all parts of our lives to line up with what we say and profess with our mouths? How might our whole lives be one of devotion and worship? In these strange times where we can't gather together and do church because our buildings are closed, how might we live out our faith with confidence from places of isolation? What does it mean for us to share of the hope we profess, to rest in the good news of the gospel? The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen? But what does it mean in a world where we're surrounded by fear and anxiety? How might we all, with our whole beings, carry the light of Christ into the dark days that might lie ahead? How might we follow the example Jesus gave us to live lives of humility and service that think of others in a world that so often encourages people to think only of themselves? Our beautiful reading that Sarah read from us from Philippians talked of Jesus coming in humility, offering everything of himself and being obedient to God, even unto death upon a cross. How this week might we be humble? How this week might we serve others and God by offering ourselves anew to him and to one another? And how might we walk with a deeper sense of obedience to the God who bids us to come and follow him? Are you all in for Jesus? Or are you happy on the sidelines? Palm Sunday shows us who the Jesus we follow is. Humble, obedient King. Coming to deal with our biggest problem. Coming to win reconciliation between God and humanity. Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing he was initiating the next steps in his walk onto the cross. And yet he did so for you and for me. Do you know this Saviour? Are you worshipping the God who holds the world in his hands and yet died for you? Are you really all in today? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Even if that means humility and service and obedience, even to things that are difficult. Why not make the day today the day where you say, yes, I'm all in for the first time? Or why don't we make the day where we resolve to say, yes, Jesus, lead me further in following you. I want to be more like you. Hosanna, the God who saves us has come close. How will you respond today? Are you all in for Jesus? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God who comes close. You are the God who comes and pays the price for us. You come in humility and in obedience even unto the cross for us. Thank you that you came on that first Palm Sunday to bring us reconciliation and peace with God. Thank you that it's because of what you did that we might know freedom and hope and joy in you. Lord God, we want to say sorry for the times we've been like the crowd, where we've got caught up in a situation and missed the point altogether. Lord God, we're sorry for the times we've worshipped you like Koki Christians, where we've been in and out and in and out. Lord, would you help us to be all in for you today? Lord, would you help us to worship you as you are and not reduce you to a box or a vending machine, just looking to you to give us what we want all the time. But Lord, would you help us to know you as you are? Would you help us to worship you in spirit and in truth? Would you help us to be like you? Would you make us more humble, Lord? Would you make us more obedient? Would you help us to live lives of service to one another? Lord, for those of us today who don't know if we know who you are, would you open our eyes to your love and your hope that we might say yes to you for the first time, Lord Jesus? And for others of us, would you help us to say a bigger yes that we might follow you fully more, Lord Jesus? In the good and the bad, the mountains and the valleys, would you help us be people who carry your light and your love and your hope in these days, we pray. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. Help us to respond to you today. Amen.